Hello everyone, I'm Daniel Hanna and you are listening to Business Leader Stories, the podcast. The only podcast where you can listen to real stories told by real business leaders. So without any further ado, let's go. Today I'm with Tobias Edel, Head of New Business Relations at WOW Games. Am I pronouncing it right, Toby?
Fully correct, yeah. And please call me Toby.
Fully correct.
Yes, only my mom and my wife, which she's super angry, call me Tobias. So everyone else called me Toby.
So I will stick with this one, with Toby. It's easier for me to pronounce. Yeah. So first of all, I want to thank you for being here today. I'm really excited. I have to say that I'm even more excited than usual. I'm so excited that I got into an allergic attack. So actually I have like my clinics here and I took some pill and I was like, it's going to be all right. Don't be overexcited. It's going to be all right. So first of all, thank you for being here today. And I'll go straight to the point. You know, one of the reasons that I'm so excited to talk to you today, besides you being a fabulous person as you are, it's because that in our previous conversation, you talked with me about the company, about WOW Games, and how it is so unique in the iGaming field. And I just want to share this with the world. So why don't you go ahead and explain about the company?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for having me. Happy to be here for the chat. WOW Games. So why is WOW Games so special in the iGaming universe? As we are doing social casino, free to play. I have to say that we are making money. So it's a fun free to play product, which is legal in every country all over the world with content from the real money world. So we have content providers like Pragmatic Play, The Nominal, Gamomat. But with our product, we build a gamification around these classic slots. So you can't win any money on our product, myjackpot.com. With the gamification we build around, so we have a system that users can play against each other with a badge system. So it's a fully entertaining platform with free chips. So you just play for free coins that you spend on the slot machines, and you also burn on the slot machines if you win a jackpot. But as we have this gamification thing, it can happen that you run out of chips. Mm. And then on this specific point, we sell chips packages to users. And there we are making money. And this is a multi-million dollar business. We are, I think, in this kind of sector, quite unique. And we offer our solution also out as a white label. Mm. So we already work with companies like Mercur or LeoVegas or Entain, where they use our solution to be active in certain markets where they are not allowed to be active or advertised. As we also in the sector of online gaming, so we're in the same category as FIFA soccer, Candy Crush. So we have no limitations regarding the advertisement. So we can advertise in any kind of channel. We are fully approved by Google, by Facebook, by TikTok. So the completely space is open. This makes us unique. And also from the user acquisition side, the hurdle to get users into the product is quite low, as we just need a username and a password for the web version or for the app version. It's just a download and you're fully connected, as we are also, again, fully approved by all the app stores. The payment methods of the app stores integrated in our app. So the user has one click, I want a chip package, click on it, and the $4.99 is transferred. So the chip package just starts between $1.99 up to $199, but due to the payments, there are no limitation.
Sounds amazing and so innovative in so many aspects. And you know, the thing that struck me the most when you first talked with me about it was the fact that because there is no real money to be earned from playing the game, it means that there is a huge focus on your side on creating the best user experience for the players, so they will actually have fun playing it because there is no monetary reward outside of just having fun.
Yeah. So the thing is, the one thing is that if you play against other users, so you have some kind of real competing mechanism that you see someone else who's spinning on the slot, what's his position in a race, for example. So we have something that's called a slot race, where small cars, also a racetrack around the slot machine, and this is a real time. So you play against 8 other users, and every time you spin and you win a jackpot, your car will move. And if someone else win a certain amount, this car will move. So it's a real race, which it's going on. And also, if you're in these kind of race and you run out of chips, you can wait, but maybe then you will lose the race, or then you can purchase additional chips. Or on the other hand, we have something that's called Jackpot Journey, where you have a map similar to Candy Crush, where you collect stars, but there you have to fulfill missions. For example, spin these slot machines 50 times and find the cherry symbol, or make a mega win on these kind of slot machines. So every stage is a different slot machine, and on every stage you have to fulfill a different mission. So, and this is where you also collect a journey and where you get your badge, and it's all about playing with other users, but it's also possible to play alone, just to entertain yourself.
You know, I'm curious to ask you, for how many years you've been in this industry overall?
So there I need to do some kind of difference. So I'm in the online industry since 2001.
Wow. Yeah, so when started out, actually.
Yeah, so I started my career back actually in the 90s when I was working with my father, and the idea was back then that I take over the family business, which was coming to a completely different field.
And a cliffhanger. What was the field?
My grandfather had a gas station, including a garage. Mm. So with several people, and then on a certain point in the 60s, my father took over. And so it was the dream of my father, middle end of the 90s, that I will take over the family business in the third generation. And the company, so if we talk about a gas station, but the thing is my father had a quite big one. So we had like more than 30 employees.
Wow.
With a huge garage, with a lot of cleaning service and all the things. And we have some kind of different. Okay, now I can really lean back.
Going down memory lane.
So we have some kind of different education system in Germany. So if we have some kind of hybrid model where you work in a company and at the same time you go to school, but it's a special school for get educated for a sales job. So, and you get paid during this time. Back then, I did some kind of special period between 2 and 3 years. So, and I did this job, at my father's place. So, and I have to say, since I was a child, so this was my environment. Yeah. So I was the whole time there. So with my mom, and my mom was also working there. So it was a full family business.
Yeah.
But then, I realized, end of the 90s, this was, 2000, there was this new thing happening the past years, so called internet. and I was fascinated. So it was something technical. And I start private to investigate like how to use HTML, how to build a website, how to do something in this new online thing when I was a teenager.
So you actually bought a book, I believe it was a book, and sat down and tried to teach yourself how to build a website.
Somehow, yes. So, but wow. Really, really basic elements. And then on a birthday party, I met my first boss in the online business, which was back then on an editor's company called Axel Springer, or yeah, it's one of the biggest German, or it's the biggest German one. And there, yeah, somehow, I end up to start working for them. So, I had a holiday break of 2 weeks and you have to do some kind of final test to when you're finishing your job education thing in Germany,
yeah,
that you're fully approved and you got your last certificate. So I had the opportunity to, like, okay, I was 2 weeks off, 1 week. I teach myself for this final exam.
Yeah.
And on the second week, I made an internship, but it was a secret. So only my mom knows that I did this internship. So it was a secret for my father, because I know that he will completely freak out if he realized that I'm not interested anymore in the family business. So I managed it when I did this 1 week internship at the company that they offered me a job. And 2 months later, I start my first job in the online business. So this is how I end up.
What were they actually doing in the company?
It was a marketer company. So back then, for online marketing, so banner advertising on certain websites. Mm. So they sold the banner spaces, and I was in charge as an account manager for the banner advertising, to work with the ad servers and integrate this into the ad servers. Yeah, that the banners are shown. So more technical side. That was the reason and the connection why I was so fascinated by HTML and all the things.
Yeah.
And so I did this job 2.5 years.
Before you continue, I just want to ask you, how was it to deal with your father, letting him know for the first time that his dream of you taking over the business is not going to happen, actually?
I also have to say that 3 weeks before I officially quit, he had an article in a newspaper, and there was like someone from the press took pictures like family business, third generation, Tobias will take over, and blah blah blah. And things was exactly the time when I was negotiating my new contract.
Oh my god!
So I was like, okay, will this happen or not? Yeah. So because I also need some kind of security. Imagine if they said, no, we will not hire you. And then if I already told my father, like, hey, I will leave the business. And yeah, so and the press guy came around and we took the pictures. And then I told my father after. And the thing is that it's also important that you pass your test and everything go through. Otherwise, you have to work a half year longer at the company to do it another time. So that was important why I was, teach myself all the things for the final exam that I passed it, that I can leave the company. So I passed the test. So I got the new contract. So and then I told my father that I will leave. He completely freaked out.
It's like coming out of the closet, but in a different context.
So he screamed around and he was completely was completely busted. So I have to say, long story short, so the relation with my father is, not the best until today. So
until today, wow.
Yeah, so, but was better and then worse, but this isn't a story. But anyway, then I worked for Axel Springer for 2.5 years. And then the company was bought by T-Online and was part of Deutsche Telekom. And they asked for a relocation down to Frankfurt, and I'm based in Hamburg, which is not Germany. So and I declined the offer, and then I joined another marketer company, which was connected to the Spiegel Verlag, the German Time magazine, where I worked 1 year in this some kind of same position. And then 1 year later, due to my network and someone else that I know, someone came around and asked me, there's some kind of new company and if I'm interested, because they're looking for someone who is possible to read ad server reports and in charge of do HTML and this company called back then MidasPlayer.com. But I don't know how many people are aware of the name MidasPlayer.com. So this is the first name of King.com, the creators of Candy Crush. So I had a lovely meeting with the CEO of the company back then, Riccardo Zacconi, in Hamburg. It was a super small startup, 16 people. And
so you were the 17th?
somehow it grew.
Doing my basic math.
Yeah. So, super small. And, so King.com was in the beginning, the first years, a skill gaming platform. So, and this was my first contact with games in relation of cash. Yeah. So it was a skill gaming platform with skill games. And, I was in charge in the beginning of the German market. And then somehow it grows that we had a lot of this media partner relations and we work with TV stations like RTL, with collaborations with Bild.de, which is the biggest German newspaper, with G-Online. We worked then with AOL. We had a deal with Yahoo North America. So on all the Yahoo portals, you found the King.com. So it grows and grows and grows. And my role changed a lot from some kind of being an account manager, more so into business development, over the years. So I worked for King for more than 6 years, close to 7 years until 2011. It was a really, let's say, education curve for me and what kind of field I step. And also, my network grows. I met amazing people back then. And then on a certain point, I thought like, okay, King was more moving into the mobile space, more into Facebook with Candy Crush. And I was always the guy with the partner relations, as I mentioned, with RTLG Online. So I thought like, okay, what's the next step for me? So I moved on to another company also based in Hamburg called Player Games.
Before we go into it, I have to ask you something, because, when you talked about you taking basically those risks of finding yourself in the world, going out of the family business, I could relate to it a lot because my background is in journalism. And beforehand, I used to be actually a fashion photographer. Mm-hmm. And my mom didn't like it at all. Like, her dream for me was to go to university to get a degree, have like a respectable job or whatever, however you pronounce it. And the minute that she understood that I'm going to have my own business doing fashion photography and going into journalism later on, she didn't like it and she wasn't supportive of it at all. We had many arguments about it. And I will forever remember the feeling of myself going into this field, knowing that I cannot do any mistake. Because if I'm doing a mistake, I'll have nobody to lean on, not financially, but as much as emotionally, because I lived with this fear that if something will go wrong, and I'll come up to her. I'm an only child to a single mom, so that's my family essentially. If I'll come up to her and I'll be like, "Look, I've done this mistake. I want to change my way, whatever." The first thing that she will tell me will be, "I told you so," and that was like a huge weight on my shoulders, and it made me question about yourself. Like, how was it for you taking all of those personal risks, trying to find your way in the world, knowing that you might not have the support that you want to have or deserve to have from your family, from your father going forward? How was it for you?
I have to say, when I left my father, so his employees did bets on it when I would return. So, and I dubbed this afterwards that they said there was like between like 1 week or like 6 months. So 6 months was the maximum. So everyone mentioned like in 6 months he's back, he will definitely will fail will not succeed. So, and honestly, I was, back then I was 20. Yeah. So when I made this change, and I was already together with back then my girlfriend, now wife and mother of my child. So, and she was really supportive. So she, and the thing is that I have to say, we also have quite interesting relations. So when we have been together for like 3 months, she went abroad for a 1 year study in England. So she's today an English teacher, and she was always the person like, "Hey, live your dream, try it. If you fail, then never ever say in the future, like, back then, why I'm not blah, blah, blah." Yeah. So it was the thing like, You can fail, but if you see some kind of mistakes, then next time you can do it better. So you have to fail in life. But luckily, me, that it wasn't a good way. So and I was able to live my dream.
Wow.
And
she was actually allowing you to bet on yourself, actually.
Yeah. So allowing you is so but she supported me, yeah. So yeah. And this is how our relation is based on. And I have to say I'm now married since 2005 and I'm together with her since 99 and my son is 14 and we have a house in the countryside and also there I'm living my dream, yeah. So with the family and all the things and I have the best out of two worlds, yeah.
This support system is so crucial, I think, because you know you had everything already done for you. You had a family business. Your father had this plan for you to take over the business, and you had different dreams. You had a bigger aspirations for yourself, and you got the emotional support that you needed from your back then girlfriend, now wife. Such a fabulous story. I like it a lot. Specifically these days when I'm hearing those stories of partners, that romantic partners, of course, that are trying to make their partner go in a very specific way, the secured way, and not in the way of them really manifesting or accomplishing whatever they want to do in life. So that's such a great story. I'm so happy you shared it.
Yeah. So also the thing like the support she gave me today. Yeah. So as I'm traveling a lot for business, and especially when you have family at home, she's been covering me. Yeah. Which is cool. And even in the beginning when my son was younger, so it was a hard challenge. Yeah. To do everything alone when your better half is not there and traveling for business. Yeah. But she also gave me the chance and to go there. And then I joined a company called Playa Games, and this was a pure online click and wait game. So it was a browser game, has nothing to do with any kind of money. It was a pure free to play game for virtual items. So I worked 9 months for Playa Games, and then another company popped up called InnoGames, also Hamburg based. And biggest title, Forge of Empires. And InnoGames, yeah, asked me to join to build their partner business relation thing. And January 2012, I joined InnoGames. And InnoGames was also in the stage when they were super successful in pure browser gaming. But then they start to develop the first mobile game. So they transfer Forge of Empire to the mobile platform for Android and Apple. We grew the business. So I had a team, I hired several people, and the company was growing, up to 400 people.
Wow.
And I worked for InnoGames until beginning of 2018. And then several things changed. I was at InnoGames more than 6 years. And I also thought like, okay, what's the next step? And due to my network, I met a guy called Heiko Huberts. Heiko Huberts was the former founder of BigPoint. So the, let's say, back then, biggest browser gaming company in the world. Mm-hmm. And he had a new project, which was also, let's say, quite established, and this was WoW Games with myjackpot.com. And he asked me to join and support him. And I was like, yeah, okay, new challenge. And this was the first step when I got into the iGaming universe. I told you WoW Games, the platform, it's based on free to play. So it got a lot of elements from my old world combined with the new iGaming world. And so in February 2018, I joined WoW, and my, let's say, learning curve got a new stage as I got the education from the iGaming space. So I went to new conferences. I went to Sigma, for example. I saw IGB, ICE in London, and I stepped into a complete new world, also mindset-wise. Mm. And And yeah, for me, I have to say the first years was quite hard because several
the
people...
The first years, usually yeah, so the first 100 days of grace. Talk about years.
Yeah, so it was like, so beginning 2018, 2019, when I tried to get connected with people, so I was always the guy like, hey, here I am, what's going on? Yeah, I have this kind of game, blah, blah, blah. And then when I stepped into the iGaming sector, I know that they were like, okay, what you're doing, what you're offering, it's for free. It won't make any money. Yeah, go away. And yeah, it was for me. So to get educated, how you step into this kind of connection in the iGaming mm-hmm. space, did you get introduced by someone else and start the conversation? So long story short, but I'm there and, it also, again, now I have the best of two worlds. So I have the cool side of iGaming and also online gaming. Which I combine, with Supply. So I also still go to conferences like Gamescom or, GDC, which are fully games developer related. And there are some people from Sony with PlayStation and Microsoft. And, so it's a cool mixture. Yeah. So, and I also can bring my benefits into the new world and combine this. And yeah.
I'm intrigued to ask you, said, just a few sentences ago that people were really criticizing or not supportive or whatever you say it about the mere idea of this business of like having like a free-to-play game that also makes money. What do you think for yourself helped you to develop the perseverance to continue doing what you do, fully believing in it, despite of others people's opinion and people that at the time I'm pretty sure were more experienced than you are? So maybe, you know, you could tell yourself, maybe they see something that I can see.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what for me was a big proof as we license our solution out as a white label, but we also run our own marketing and our own business with myjackpot.com. And also we did all these collaborations with several partners, where we work with. And I got the full proof that the product got a high conversion rate. The product is working on the user acquisition side up to the payment. And the thing is that it depends on the market, but we have conversion rates from registration to paying player between 2% and 12%. So,
wow.
And then you also need to compare this. So, for example, if you have 1,000 users and you do marketing for real money gambling, or you do marketing for our product. So out of 1,000 users, maybe the real money gambling will get one paying user out of it. But for example, we get 100 users out of it. And we also have lower user acquisition costs, that we are in the same range as Candy Crush and the other games. So it's complete, some kind, not 100% different, as we also want to apply like slot players, but it's a mixture. And then it's more the mass. So, and one of my arguments also was like, hey, you have a database with users, which you can't monetize. Why do not send them to a white label product where they can free to play and convert them there? Even if you are making €5 a month or 10 euros, but even this additional amount of money. Yeah. So, and again, we have users, they spend money like hell. Yeah. So it's a quite value business and it's.
So essentially what you say is that you were very much data driven in your decision. Despite the negativity that was thrown at you, you had the data to know this thing is working, even if you can see it or you can make sense out of it. Like I'm talking about the people who were criticizing the business. There are still facts and numbers talk eventually.
Numbers and the things that our business is completely based on performance advertising. Not completely. It's performance advertising is important channel, but performance data. Let's call it better performance data. So as we are also have a lot of these media partners and we do TV advertising, but all for us, especially, for our product that we are running it. And this was my proof case. And the thing is, due to my experience to the past 20 years, I know that free-to-play games are working. So and free-to-play games is the biggest market in the world. Yeah. So for if you compare this with the music industry, yeah, so all the game developers, so these are the pop stars, yeah, which no one knows
in the background.
Yeah. So and this give me the proof that I know where I'm talking about. And over the, let's say it's now 4.5 years I'm with Lao Games, so several companies also realized that it works, and also some influencers. So I had a cool deal back then with a German influencer called Knossi, and he's super huge now on Twitch, but more in the German speaking area. But there back then we created Knossi Casino, yeah, which was a white label for web based on our product. So he used it on Twitch, and he's still a happy man, I guess.
Yeah. So essentially it means, if I understand correctly, that you can team up with influencers and create for them a white labeled platform that will be connected to your platform. So essentially it's like the Wix of online gaming, in a way, if you understand where I'm heading to. Like everybody can have a slice of the actual product, in a way.
Yes, so it's possible to white label more basic for web, for influencers, so that they get their own product, yeah.
Wow.
And that's really again, crazy. It's not under the rule from Twitch, so it's not banned from Twitch, yeah.
Mm.
And as we are an online gaming product officially, which is not gambling.
Yeah. You know, you said earlier that you've been in this industry for almost 20 years by now. If not 20, am I correct?
Yeah.
Something along those
lines. If you count the online business back then at the market companies extra. Yeah. So,
but you're still young. You're still young, so that's okay.
I'm 44, which is okay. Yeah.
You're still young. 44 is the new 34. That's okay. And what is the biggest lesson that you've learned during this time from doing this type of work? On a personal level.
Never give up. It's the thing, especially right now with the iGaming sector. So, WoW Games, it's funny, they call me internally the foreign minister of WoW Games. So as I'm the guy who's traveling around, visiting the conferences, get in touch with the people. And this thing, like talking to someone engage and meet up, especially all about personal networking. Yeah, I realized over the years it can happen that you have the first chat, but the deal will happen like 2 years later.
Yeah.
So and it's a thing that you really like reconnect, talk to them again and in a friendly way. Or even maybe these people change company and then the deal will happen. Yeah. So it's a thing. And then I'm a big fan of you always meet twice in life because it happened so often to me right now and back then that I meet people again. It's the thing. Sometimes it's happened quite fast, but sometimes it takes years and years and years. So especially with TV companies, I know that we negotiate a year with RTL to finalize the deal. Yeah, like back and forth with legal and another round, and let's talk about like guarantees and rev share and this is my biggest thing. Like, never give up, and the thing is, you always meet twice. So the thing is, on a certain point, the employee you had at one day, and the next company, it can be your boss.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's karma coming back at you. So
always keep this in mind. You always go in a good faith and
was there is a moment in this super intense industry and the type of work that you are doing that you told yourself something along the lines of maybe this is not for me?
Actually, if there are some kind of situations or something like, then I will walk away. But no, actually, I'm fine, and yeah, getting around and be nice with each other. So I never ever had some kind of a situation where it was strange or where I thought I will skip this. So I'm I have to say I'm in deep love with my job and the things I'm doing. And the best thing is that somehow my job is my hobby. My hobby is my job. And I can combine a lot of good things together. And this gives me a lot of energy and pump me that I have fun to do my work.
Yeah, it's very apparent. People cannot see it.
And then I have to say, if there's the point, and on several companies I had this, so where I was not happy, and I thought like, okay, let's change something. Then I made the decision quite fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and when I was at the point for leaving InnoGames, it was some kind of a working. It was really family wise, personal. Was everything fine? It was really like that. I was not happy in this kind of moment with my job back then. And then I made the decision within 1 week that I will leave the company. Yeah. So, and then I changed something in my life. So, and this is also something that I highly recommend. So if you're not happy, ask yourself what's wrong and what should you change. Yeah. So, and how you can, get on next level is some kind of phrase, but yeah, be happy again. So for me, it's important that I be a happy life.
Yeah, this is so fascinating to me what you just said about, you know, making this type of a decision in within a week, because I know so many people who can really entertain that type of a decision for like month on end, you know. What do you think there is about you that allows you to be, one, super intuitive, and second, act upon a decision so quickly? And specifically in your type of a role, I think it's a very critical characteristic to have.
Quite easy answer. My family. So it was I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday morning. I quite remember because it was such a short time. So we got up in the morning.
How old were you?
At InnoGames was 2017. For example.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this was some kind of situation, was 5 years ago. So, and 39. And it was a regular family morning, like get up, breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, out of the blue, I said to my son, come on, move on. You have to go to school. Be faster at the bathroom. Yeah, we have party of three. Everyone needs to be to work, to school. Yeah, move on. So and I shout at him. So out of the blue. And my wife turns around and said, hey, your problems at your office should stay in your office and not with your family. And this was a moment when I realized she's fucking right. Sorry to say. And at the evening, I start to open up my network and I send messages to friends and to friends in my network and someone who well connected to me. And I was asking around like, hey, I should change something. I'm looking for something new. Do hear something, is there somewhere else position open? And I sent also a message to Heiko back then. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But good for me. Yeah. So let's meet. So and it took 1 week and it was the end of November. So and I quit really on the last day before the next month comes. And I had a 3 months termination period at InnoGames. So and I really terminate on my last possible day, back end of November, and then I was around February 3. So.
You know, that's such a great story because I think it really illustrates how much family really means to you, first of all, and how important it is to really stay balanced in these types of roles between, you know, balancing between your personal life and your professional life, and not letting one take over the other. Because, you know, I know so many people, I've heard so many stories of people that become so, I don't know how to say it really, like so attached in a way to their job that it takes over their whole life. And their personal relationships are suffering because of it. So the mere fact you were able to say, okay, stop, I'm losing who I am inside of this title, inside of this job, is really amazing.
Yeah. So the thing is that at the end, you need to trust yourself and be, what's the right word? Realize that what you're doing what's so I'm not the messias, yeah, like hey, this is the right way or this, yeah. but telling yourself the truth is just, I guess, the best way, and do not lie to yourself, and because then it's you kind of make the best out of it.
How many children do you have?
I have one son.
One son. And yeah. What's his name?
Joris.
Joris. Am I pronouncing it right?
Joris, yeah.
Correct. Joris. How old is he?
14.
14. So he's a young adult already.
Yes and no. So the thing is that he's quite is also the wrong word. But he's quite close with us, so he really likes to be with the family, and he's still enjoying like going with us traveling. So for me, it's also important that we also explore the world. Yeah, so I think for a 14-year-old, he saw a lot of places all over the world.
Yeah,
and he's still like, oh yeah, and we just had a family vacation, so we did a road trip in Scotland. So we, with the car, we went up to Scotland and explore back last October. The countryside, and the thing is that out of the blue, my son's like, hey, I really like this, what we are doing as a family, and I enjoy the time with you. And I think for a 14-year-old, yeah, so I hear also from other families like bad stories like, oh yeah, where's my PlayStation, and I have to spend time with you, and I want to go to the hotel room, or blah blah blah. So he was really like, yeah, it's cool to be around with you, maybe this is because of his parents. I don't know.
I feel personally touched by this. You know, it's such a sweet thing. You know, it sounds like you have like almost a best friend's relationship. Almost.
Yeah. I still have to say he's also, on a certain day, he's a 14-year-old. Yeah.
The ordinary 14-year-old.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you the good stories. But no, I have to say, he's well grown. I'm not complaining about my child, so everything is fine.
You know, they say that sometimes our children are our best teachers. What is the greatest lesson you feel your son taught you in those 14 years?
Keep calm. Again, the thing. So the story I told you regarding family. So it's like when he was also a bit younger, so sounds weird, but when he was little, like 2 years old, 3 years old, it was every parents will say the same thing, like, oh my god, stressful times, and a lot to do, and like changing something like 8 times a day, and I was not a big fan of these, so every time I can avoid it, so I hand it over to my wife. I have to say, but it was also the thing, like, if I stress, so that he is the first person, so that he's never do something to children and be down, and this is like, again, it's the time that you're not will get back and you have not a second chance. So I have one child, and the thing is, on the other hand, Corona. Yeah. So Corona was a bad times for a lot of people. But I have to say, I also got a positive thing out of Corona. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that I had a chance to, have some kind of good time with my son. So I was not traveling for almost 1.5 years. So we spent, a lot of time together and it was a, let's say, quite good, peaceful time. Yeah. So we as a family, so we did a lot of things and at the evening, we went to the fire pit and made some fire outside and that, which was possible. I know that it's not possible for everyone. Yeah. So
yeah,
do not have the space, but we made the best out of it. Yeah. And this is how I survived this lockdown things in a good way. So, and then I really enjoyed it. And even my son and my wife enjoyed it. So, and this is a positive thing I take out of it.
You know, it comes to me almost intuitively to ask you, because it really sounds like you have such a great relationship with your son. Do you feel sometimes as you are recreating the relationship that you had with your father, but in a positive way, like fixing it through first-hand experience?
Yeah. So the thing is, back then, I tried to do... I'm not the perfect dad. Yeah. So, I also... I have to learn my lesson on certain ways, and I also want to that I'm the perfect messiah of everything. Yeah, but for sure I want to make things better that I thought when I was a kid or a young teenager that I should make better than my father. Yeah.
What, for example, what do you try to recreate in a positive way with your son?
Time together. So look, and when, as I told you, so when I was a child, my childhood was I spent a lot of time at the gas station garage at my father's place. So when I was young, so I even had a swing. So at the gas station, yeah, when I was playing there. So And because I spent so many time there and because it was a family business and the thing is that was always, if we went to the cinema before the cinema, we went to the gas station. This was a 24 hours gas station. Yeah? And my father was checking it. After the seminar, we went there. So, and always also when I did some kind of sports, wasn't it that often that my parents were around? So, and my son's playing handball and, I'm at every tournament, on every game I attend. Yeah. I always go to him and watch him. Yeah. So I know because it was for me important and I try to, give him, this kind of thing. Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, you said it as a child, you didn't feel like having enough time on a personal level with your family because everything was around the family business. And for you, it's important to create personal memories and personal experiences with your son and your family in general.
Yeah. Wow. I also have to say, I've just said it. So I grown up in a good environment. Yeah. So, I had a good childhood. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah, so it's clear to everybody.
So I had a peaceful childhood and being a kid of the 80s and 90s. Yeah. So, being out, so everything was fine. I had nothing that I thought like, okay, I missed something or something like mm-hmm. this back then. But, on a certain point, I tried to do it even better. Yeah.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, so I tried to put something on top and I know that there's still some kind of space and you can always do it better. It doesn't matter if it's private or business-wise. Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's the thing.
I completely agree with you on what you just said because I talked with people a lot about that, you know, I personally also had great childhood and I always say that our parents, they do the best that they know how to do. and they try to be the best parents that they know or can envision themselves to be.
Exactly.
Sometimes though, they do not know how to give you the exact thing that you need. And that's a very subtle thing that everybody feels that way. That, yeah, my parents were great. Still, there was this little thing that I needed that wasn't really there. And I'm trying to compensate for it with my children, with my son, with my family and everything.
Exactly. I completely agree with what you just mentioned. And I also know that my parents want to do the best for us, as they worked a lot. As they want to give us some kind of a place of parents, so had an own house with a huge garden, and we also travel around, there's some kind of vacation. But for example, when we have this big summer vacation in Germany with the 6 weeks, so I was every year at home, because all the employees of my dad got vacation with their family. So we always went on vacation in the fall or in spring. Yeah, so and then we go skiing in spring, or we went somewhere else like to Spain in fall. So we never ever went abroad during the summertime. Yeah, so I was always 6 weeks at home. So and every time when my friends come back, everyone told me, I've been there in the summer and there and there and there. And for us was a no-go, yeah. So and this, for my parents was okay, yeah, because then they thought like, okay, we vacation in spring or fall. But for me as a child was completely weird, because all my friends went abroad and or somewhere, and I was 6 weeks at home. Yeah. So
you know, this is so funny you said, because you know, these are the moments when somebody shares a personal story and I'm going like, whoa, that's my story. Actually, because, you know, as I said, I'm an only child to single mom. We had no car. So every time that there was this big vacation in Israel, I was staying at home mostly. Like sometimes I would go somewhere, but I was mostly at home during the summer. And I remember that the thing that I cared the most about was what is going to be the story I'm going to tell people, like my classmates at school, what I'm going to tell them, like where I was, or how I'm going to show them pictures and stuff like that. And, you know, I had a really great childhood, and my mom loved me the most and tried to do the best that she possibly could to make me feel as anybody else. But that little thing, you know, that's the reason why today I'm trying to take as many vacations as I can and go to places with my friends, with my partner. And I completely agree with you. It's such a sweet point that you brought up. I believe that many other people have the same experience. Is there any distinct memory that you have of your family that every time that you think about family, about home, it comes up to you, then you like to dwell in it a little bit, like a sweet memory of your family?
Sweet memory of my family. So with my parents or with my... Good question. There are certain points. So especially I remember when we have been on vacation. Yeah. So for me, it was always the thing. Once we have been to Spain, to Ibiza, there, I remember we had some kind of good vacation there. We are driving around with a car, and I was sad to say I have an older brother. So he's 7 years older, and it's quite a bigger gap between us. And there we had a good time on the island. I think was 85, right? 86 somewhere. So I still remember these kind of vacation back then, because it was the first or was the second vacation where we used the plane and we fly into an island, and first time in Spain back then. Yeah, the thing is, I always remember when I've been on vacation with my parents. And also when we go skiing. So skiing was also always great when we've been to Austria, to the Alps, and the sunshine and the snow was always a great time with my parents. Wow. Actually, so I always remember these vacation things. Maybe this is also the reason why I want to travel that much with my son. Yeah. So again, building memories.
To create those personal memories.
Yeah.
You know, I have a great, I think it's a great thing to ask because I've heard it on another podcast and I really liked it. And I want to ask you that as well, because we are heading to the end of our conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's say right now that you are 120 years old, okay, and you are on your deathbed,
mm-hmm.
okay, being completely peaceful, surrounded by your family, your son, your wife, everybody that you really care about and cares about you. And let's imagine that everything that you've created in life is going to be, you know, fading away, okay? And you have, let's say, a sentence or two to tell them, and that sentence or two is going to be your legacy for them. What would it be?
Never give up and be real.
Be real. What does it mean for you to be real?
Yeah. So to be yourself. Yeah. So that you trust in yourself and believe in your dreams, and also on the seven point, just with the family business and do your own thing.
I like it that we're ending as we started with such a beautiful closure on this story.
Yeah.
Here we have it. Toby, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a super insightful conversation. And I just have to say on a personal note that it was such an honest conversation. And I really appreciate you for that, for allowing me and allowing our listeners to really get to know you on a personal level. I think it is really unique, specifically in this field. So I want to be appreciative of this. And if anybody wants to talk to you, want to reach out to you, where they can find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn. So they can reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's important for me that do not only add me on LinkedIn, send me a message. Yeah. Mm. So the things, if someone just add me on LinkedIn, I will never ever add you. So it's also some kind of network thing. So before Corona, I had the rule that I had always a personal meeting with someone before I add them to LinkedIn or even like a chat. And because I want to keep the quality of my network.
Mm.
And this is maybe also the reason why all the people which are somehow connected with me, I've got, you know, some kind of relation. Yeah. So I do not just add random people on LinkedIn. So I got a lot of replies like, oh yeah, I want to connect with you. Yeah. Without any kind of message. Yeah. So then I will not allow this. So I just decline. So every three months I would just clean my LinkedIn. So like decline, 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 because they just, want to connect with me without any kind of center. So if you want to connect with me, write me a nice message. And
I've listened to your podcast. I liked it a lot. Something along those lines.
Something like this, yeah.
You know, I have to say that I really liked what you just said, because I feel that people kind of lost touch with the real essence of social media. You know, the essence of social media is eventually to really connect with people. And we turn into this society who's very much ego-driven, that you're just looking to have as many connections as possible without any substance behind them. So I think it's a great input that you just brought up to really get to know the person.
Yeah.
Even just to have a first message, to introduce yourself. And
yeah,
to,
so for me, it's a fun thing. And even with social media, so I know we're there over time, but I have to do one last Toby story,
yeah,
okay?
Sure.
Okay? Okay?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So especially with social media, so you can also find me on the other platforms, yeah, like Facebook or Instagram or on Twitter. But so everywhere with my clear name, so Tobias Ebel. So these are my accounts. And but especially on Instagram or on Facebook, it's more really like friends. And I also have people there which are from the industry, but over the years we got friends, business friends, where I'm connected. And for me, it's this thing with social media and how it changed and how to, things like shown and get proved and the like things. I'm so happy that I'm not a teenager anymore during these days, because I have to tell you one thing. I had a nice story beginning of the 90s. And this shows how the world changed due to Instagram and all the things. So my father-in-law back then was 2001. He worked for an editor company called Bauer Verlag, and they had the biggest teenager magazine for stars and celebrities called Bravo. And every year they had...
I know it. I know of its name.
Okay, Bravo. So the Bravo magazine. And every year they had the Bravo Super Show. So my father-in-law invited me together with my back then girlfriend to a Bravo Super Show in Stuttgart. So we went there. We stayed in the same hotel as the celebrities. We got backstage passes. So we watched the show with a lot of stars back then. Yeah. And then there was an after show party. And at the after show party, everyone was there. Every celebrity, everyone. And there was one photographer allowed, which was from the Bravo magazine. And there were no smartphones. No photos were taken. So it was really, let's say, safe environment for everyone. And there was, in a cool party location, I was dancing around and there was like free beers everywhere and drinks. And it was a really relaxed celebration without taking photos or someone. Yeah. Because there was only just one photographer from the Bravo. So I was dancing with my, now wife, boyfriend back then. And then I realized there was, three girls next to me. And they were dressed like this typical lumberjack shirts in red with the colors. And and then I realized, okay, whoa, this is Beyoncé. So, and she was just dancing next to me like this. Wow. And having a good night, super relaxed. And she, back then with Destiny's Child. So it was the three girls of Destiny's Child.
Wow.
And everyone else from this evening were around. Yeah. And everyone was celebrating. And if I compare this with the world today, with the pictures and like fully, like fancy dresses and all the things. And they're actually, they wear the same shirt you're having. it's just, but only in red. Yeah. And I still remember this and this. And I always, thinking back about these stories and how the world changed. And on a certain point, it's quite sad that these kinds of parties don't exist anymore.
Wow. It's such a marvelous story, I have to say. And, it brings me back to just be present. People are so focused on videotaping everything and posting it and getting the likes and having this huge FOMO on social media. And they just forgot just to be present. And just to be in the moment and just to talk to people, get to know them, create personal relationships. And I think that it's really amazing that you yourself as a business leader in your position still really deeply cares about these type of things, because I think that really human connection is everything and being present is everything. And people, I don't know if they know it, but the way I got you on the podcast was because one of my podcast promoters reached out to you doing a Sigma event in Malta. And just the mere fact you stopped by talking to I think it was Claudia or Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. You stopped by talking to them, setting a meeting, showing up to the meeting. It says a lot about you as a person, and it's an amazing indicator about how much human connection and just being with people is important to you. And I wish more leaders were like this, because I think that creates not only better business, but just better society in general. So I think it's very important.
Yeah, fully agree.
Toby, thank you so much for your time today. Highly appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to talk to you soon again. Is there anything that you want to add or to say before we wrap up?
No, I think I shared already such a lot of things, quite private. So it's okay. It's enough.
It's enough for now, but I'm promising you, I'm going to be back again with another episode with you on the episode, and we're going to explore different stories than the first time. I'm pretty sure there are more stories to be told.
There's still something left.
For the next time. Toby, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. What a pleasure.